Acts chapter 25. Is going to be our passage today. And in that passage, Festus, who is the new governor over Judea, he's new to office, and like most politicians, he has to try to figure out the lay of the land and the people, try to get the pulse of what's going on. I liken this Festus getting into his position, which has been granted to him by Nero. The same that as Trump this week, the inauguration. I don't know about you, but I am full of hope to see the name of God invoked so much in the speeches, in the prayers, the amount of scripture that was read over the people, and the name of Jesus talked about and put out there, so that those who would be in the audience who would even have an idea or even have an inkling that America is not a Christian nation, that would be dissolved right away. That indeed, we have a leader who is listening and desires to listen to the voice of God. And a second in command as well, who we have already heard his testimony that he indeed is a Christian and has even spoken in pulpits, not ashamed of his faith. Festus, a Roman appointee, he gets to Caesarea. Luke writes in Acts 25, he gets to Caesarea. He's trying to get the feel for what's going on with the people. And 3 days after he gets to Caesarea and he sees what the Herod appointment temple and all the abode is about, then he decides to go to Jerusalem. The people that he will be ruling over and to try to get a heartbeat of what's going on with Jerusalem. And so he travels there to educate himself. And as he gets to Jerusalem, the seat of Jewish history, of Jewish religion, of Jewish teaching, he is confronted by the Jewish priests, by the leaders. And rather than trying to give them a pulse, trying to give Festus a pulse of what's going on, the first thing they have to do is bring allegations against Paul. I'm sure Festus kind of wanted to know, you know, what's the economic engine of Jerusalem? What is the underlying feeling of the infrastructure and how are things going? I mean, after all, he's there in a time of famine that's going on in the land. And so he's trying to get his feet on the ground, as if you will, as a politician, because he knows that he's got to try to govern over these people, but you can't govern over a people that you don't understand. He wanted, in his heart of hearts, to not only represent Rome, but he wanted to represent the people. A thing I found very refreshing in Trump's speech is that our government will again return to the voice of the people, not just the voice of a few selected in Washington. Praise be for that. Those are the fundamentals upon which this country was established. the government would be by the people, for the people. Festus is here. They bring charges, allegations against Paul of all of his wrongdoings. So thus I entitled today's message, Alligators and Focus. Alligators. We're all going to have them. Whenever you stand up and you allege the truth about something, there are always going to be those who will come up and allege that there's something wrong with you. Alligators, taken from my own personal dictionary in the bulletin, if you'll take that out and look at the inside of it. Alligators are persons who publicly bring charges of wrongdoing against another based upon their biased viewpoints and experiences. Can you think of alligators? I don't think the ink is even dry on the documents that President Trump has signed, and plans were already going on throughout the nation for protests. And I was trying to figure out what all the impetus of this. I mean, it surely couldn't just be because Trump was put into office and elected president. And then it hit me. Yesterday was the 44th year anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Kind of gives some substance to what all these women protesters were all about, doesn't it? They weren't necessarily, you know, I mean, sure, protest against Trump, you betcha. You know, let's add that to the list. But what were they protesting in reality? Women's rights. To what? To abortion. To the murder of innocent children. Over 50 million of them. And you don't think the wrath of God is going to not come down on this country for our standing by and allowing this murder to continue to go on? I support this administration that said they will defund Planned Parenthood. I support because those are my Christian values as well. Women, you have a choice. The choice is to keep your sex during a marriage relationship, not outside a marriage relationship. The choice is to raise a life that God has begun in you, with the support of the one who helped you conceive of that child as well. And men, it's just as much our responsibility as it is the woman to be there to support them. But in reality, so if you look at, of course, the news had to pump out all these protests all over the nation, women's rights. And they tried to make it a black mark against Trump being put into office, but it wasn't about Trump. Please realize that. It was about women's rights and Roe v. Wade. They were celebrating a 44-year anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Now do you get the flavor? Do you get the taste of what was going on there? Just as Festus is in Jerusalem and he's trying to get the feel of what is going on in Jerusalem, and all they can come up with is, hey, this guy Paul, he's got to be put on trial. Bring him here, Festus. Bring him here and let us put him on trial. And Festus goes, no, 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 no. I represent Rome. I don't bow to you, you bow to me. I will be returning to Caesarea. And if you have these allegations against Paul, will you come down to my trial? You come down to my court. I'm not going to bring my court to you. You bring your accusations there, and I will hear them. So Festus, it says, according to Luke, hangs around 8 to 10 days more in Jerusalem, probably going around trying to see, you know, what the culture is all about. And then he returns to Caesarea. And it says 3 days later that the priests show up. And Festus, the very next day, holds court. He calls Paul in. Paul, you have some alligators that showed up and they're hungry. They're hungry for your flesh. You're going to come in, you're going to face your alligators. And then you will be allowed an opportunity to defend yourself. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 25. You see, Jesus told Paul at the very beginning, you will have to give testimony before Gentiles, before Jews, before kings, and those in authority. You will have to suffer much for my name, Paul. But I'll never leave you or forsake you. You keep upholding my name. You keep upholding the good news of my resurrection. And I will protect you. I will take you exactly to where I have plans for you to go. So Festus, here's the arguments of the Jews. And after he listens to them babbling on about something about some ceremony that Paul supposedly brought these Nazarites in, and they defamed the temple of God. And he turns to Paul and he says, okay, Paul. And Paul says, none of these charges are true. I came there doing the rites of purification with these Nazarites. I myself am a Jew. I know that I don't want to come into the temple and defile it. These charges are wrong. And so Festus is at this place. He goes, well, if you don't have anything that you've done that deserves punishment or even murder that these guys are calling for, Roman law doesn't have anything to bring against you as well. But Paul, just for fun, would you like to go to Jerusalem and have a trial? So in other words, Festus is speaking to the Jews that he's trying to get to know and win favor with. Okay, maybe it isn't my place of court, but maybe to just curry their favor, I'll give in to this request. Paul, what do you say? Absolutely not. These guys want to kill me. I am here before your honorable court, Festus. And if you find nothing wrong with me, if I'm to be put to death, fine. I'm not afraid of dying. But let there be a reason for it. And as you can see, O Festus, there is no valid reason. But I appeal to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, Paul could do that. Well, this puts things in a whole different category for Festus. He secretly has to stop the proceedings for a moment. and he talks to his advisors. What should we do? This man has now appealed to Caesar. You realize he's a Roman citizen, don't you, Festus? No, but I do now. Well, if he appealed to Caesar, then to Caesar he should go. If he, as a Roman citizen, is proclaiming that he wants to go talk before Caesar. However, I'm confused because I don't have any real charges that I can write to Nero and say, this man needs to go on trial for fill in the blank. You find something wrong with him because I haven't been able to. He knew that that would not look well for him. And so he waits. He deliberates. And the next couple of days, he has a visitor, King Agrippa II. King Agrippa II, who is the great-grandson of Herod the Great, comes with his sister Bernice. This is a strange little arrangement that's going on. Number one, Herod Agrippa is ruler over all the province, whereas Festus is just over a small portion as governor. And yet Herod Agrippa II has the power over the treasuries of the temple in Jerusalem. And so with that knowledge, Festus is going, ha-ha, maybe King Herod II, King Herod Agrippa, could help me out with this matter that I don't see anything for these charges substantiated at all. I don't see anything that will bear any merit in the courts of Rome. And if I don't take care of it here and now, will Rome not look down on me as somebody that can't really rule his area? Oh, King Agrippa, will you and your sister Bernice, will you hold trial with me? And will you listen to Paul? Oh, King Agrippa's going, yeah. I've been wanting to hear about this man. I've heard great rumors about him. What are the charges they're bringing up against him? Well, King Agrippa, it's this thing of some religious laws that he has supposedly broken. And this is a line in chapter 25 that just really haunted me. When I read it, I just stopped and I was just like, wow, this is so much of what the world says today. He claims that there's a fellow named Jesus who is alive. That's why I wanted you to listen to that video. Because forever he is glorified. And we as a church, I heard the applause. I heard the yes, Lord, yes, yes. I heard the celebrations of that which you and I know as believers, and yet the rest of the world does not. Because to acknowledge that Jesus is alive means I've got to confront if I am not right with God because of his sacrifice. You see, if I can think of any way that I can get into heaven just by my good deeds, by maybe keeping some laws, you know, this one and that one, I'll pick these, but to give my life entirely over to God, you know, I'm going to be a Christian, be called a Christian? Wow. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that yet. I'm not sure if I want to be a mirror image of Jesus to the rest of the world. Is Jesus alive today? Is Jesus alive in you today? Because that's where we show that that Jesus is alive. It's not by trying to have a bunch of scriptures memorized and to have some theological argument built up. If people don't see Jesus in you today, then they'll doubt if Jesus truly was alive. Your first fill-in on your outline is this: that whenever you prop yourself up to believe in something, in life, we're going to experience alligators. In life, we're going to experience alligators. When you live out a testimony that Jesus Christ is your Savior, your Lord, your Master. He's not just the one that paid the price on the cross. No, He came to live in you and through you. That you are His hands and His feet to the world today. You represent God's love in you, a person made for the purposes of God. And when you set yourself up to be like that, people are going to look at your life and they'll make allegations. I remember being on the fire department and one of the cussinest, vilest firefighters that I had to work with saw me get frustrated with a tool that I was checking out and it wasn't starting, and I just... You know, you ever had one of those things where you're going, brr, 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 chick, 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 brr, brr, brr. And I got frustrated and I verbally let out my frustration. Right? And they weren't pretty words. They were words that this guy would use. And he was right around the corner when I did it. And his allegation to me is that, oh, is that the way Christians act? And I was like, oh, Lord, I so failed you today. I represented myself. I didn't represent you. Please forgive me. Alligators, they're in the swamps around you. Jude chapter 6, or verse 16, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, alligators. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Against who? Against the Lord. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Boy, if that isn't a description of our world today. We have so many people that are grumblers, are fault finders, and unfortunately, because of our technology, we have given them voice. To where they can poison the waters of those who will listen to their social media blasts. Unsubstantiated the charges can be. As long as just somebody just truthfully just letting out their feelings, then we just need to accept those things as, well, that's their truth and they've got to live their truth. And so now we have this whole new attitude of, well, everybody's just got to live their own truth. No. You don't live your truth. You live the truth of God. That's what a Christian is about. You don't let into the beliefs of this world. Instead, you stand for the beliefs of God's Word. It's what God says that matters, not what men say. You are not going to stand before a whole jury of men that are like you someday. You're going to stand before a holy God. And he has given us his word to study, to show ourselves approved. We can't stand up before him and go, well, I was ignorant. How does that work in the laws of our courts today? It's not a defense, folks. You stand before a judge and they bring charges against you and you go, I didn't know that. And the judge is going to look at you and go, oh, you silly man. Guilty. Boom. You see, because God has superseded the writing of his word by just our eyes, instead, as he prophesied, the word of God is now in our hearts. And the word of God that is in our hearts convicts us of when we know we've done wrong. Of course, I grew up with two sisters who were always able to point out that their little brother did something wrong. And now I have a wife. She's not here. I can talk. I'm free today. Unless one of you guys rats me out. I thought you were my friends. Bunch of alligators out here in the crowd. Of course, it's not your biased viewpoints and experiences. It's just what you're hearing from me, and I'm burying myself with it. Okay. There'll always be alligators out there in life. Just as there were with Paul, so there'll be alligators that will be out to try to demean your relationship with God. There'll be those that are always trying to find fault with you. You know whose side that they are on? Satan. Because who is it that wants to remind us of our wrongs? Oh, you remember when you did that a few years back? Well, excuse me, but I thought I asked God to forgive me. And as far as my God is concerned, sir. No, you don't even deserve to be called sir. He has taken my sins as far as the east is from the west. He has thrown them into an ocean of forgetfulness and has showered me with his love and his grace. I no longer have to listen to you. You are a liar. I am a forgiven child of God. The blood of Christ has set me free. And I am free indeed. I am not going to be a prisoner to your allegations or your viewpoints. I am going to live in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's basically what Paul did. Herald Agrippa said to Festus, yes, I want to hear this man. And so the next day they have trial, and before they have that, there's all this pomp and circumstance. You know, it's kind of like all the things that, you know, Trump just wanted to get in there. Let's get going. Let's work. You know, I'll sign the papers. I'll pledge that I'm going to do the best job that I can do. But I want to get in. I want to help straighten stuff out already. Can we get past all the pomp and circumstance? I was just watching him and just feeling for him as he's just standing there and enduring all the pomp and circumstance. And the newscasters, oh, well, these are the armies that he'll be over. He's got to see the power. And I'm going, man, like there's only 30 of them going by representing each branch. You know, where I've seen, in Russia or China or Korea, you know, these mass marches of soldiers. And we've got 15, 20, 30 soldiers going by representing each of the different branches. Pomp and circumstance. Herod Agrippa II and Bernice take their seats in the trial along with Festus. And they hear Paul's defense. And after all the allegations come up, Herod Agrippa looks at Festus and goes, "He appealed to Caesar?" "Yes, he appealed to Caesar." "Well, to Caesar he must go then. We could have made a ruling here and now that there isn't any good charges against him and released him. But he appealed to Caesar. It's a higher court. He'll have to go there." Your next fill-in. And now you A people will be really happy because all the blanks are filled in. To withstand alligators, keep a focus on the joy ahead. You see, Paul was willing to go through all these trials because he knew that at every trial, he was going to have an opportunity to present the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't just going to represent himself. He was there to represent Jesus. And that's what you are called to do in your life. Who wants to know about Don Tijima? There's a few sickos. But for the most part, I want to represent Jesus. I want to talk about my Jesus. I don't want to talk about me. I don't want to talk about any of you. I want to talk about Jesus. What's Jesus doing? What has he done? So to withstand alligators, keep a focus on the joy ahead. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 kind of gives us a verse to look at this and go, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. He hated the shame of the cross, but he went through it anyway. And now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Keep your focus on the prize. And while you're here on this earth, give glory to the name of Jesus. Amen? James 1, verses 2 to 3 and verse 12. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. What was Paul going through? Trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance. And here's the promise. Here's the payoff. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when they stand the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You see, in life, we're going to experience alligators. We're going to experience those that will come after us. But we've got to keep our focus on the things that we are singing about this morning. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee, I want to be. And how do we get there? There's only one passage. There's only one doorway. It's belief in Jesus Christ and him only. It's not what religion do you serve. What church do you have an assignment with? It's Jesus. And if it's anything besides Jesus, it's not. Jesus told us, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. People want to bring up arguments about, well, but there's this religion or there's that religion. I don't care about religions, folks. God doesn't care about religions. Here's a news flash.
Flash off the news, off the press.
God hates religions. But he loves people that love him. You see, what God is looking for is exactly what he created in the garden with Adam and Eve. He wants relationship, a walking, talking relationship with you and with me. Every day. Not just on a Sunday morning, or, well, I'll give him the cursory 1 hour. No. God wants you every hour, every minute, every second of every day. So what are you giving him? Don't give him just the orts, the little tidbits. Give him all of you. Because if you don't, he said, well, but I've got this and I've got that and I've got this to be a... No. Those are idols. You're placing those as idols before God. And God says what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You won't have any idols before me. I am a jealous God. I'm jealous for your time, for your attention. I'm jealous for your love. Will you give it to me? Will you stop holding back your love? Will you stop giving it around as though you are a prostitute? Will you instead sever your heart and say, Lord God, my heart is given to you and you only. And I want to give testimony to you in all of my life. I want to be a true testimony to you. Not just to a bunch of people that I want to try to fake it with on Sunday morning, but Lord God, I want them to know that when I walk in this building, here comes a child of God. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I am a conqueror. I have victoriously lived. Though I've had trials in this week, and boy, we could all talk about the trials of this week, right? But in Jesus Christ, I have victory. I am no longer oppressed by the spirits of this world. Instead, I am freed by the power of Jesus Christ, and what I am possessed by is the Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Mold me. Fill me. Fill and use me. Use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12 would be my prayer for you. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. But be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power.